You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Well, a lot of people are reacting to the Mike Griffith comment about if Kirby Smart can get Georgia back in the SEC championship, what a miraculous season it would be. Sometimes when you get so full of adrenaline and you're excited because you called it, it doesn't always work that well for you. It's interesting the reaction from some of Griff's own peers. Stuart Mandel just reacted to the Griff comment by saying, which SEC East juggernaut would they be miraculously fending off? Translation, Griff gave us all a good laugh today on a Monday. Let's continue with more phone calls. And John is in Texas. Hello, John.
How are you doing?
Howdy.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just calling in. There's been a lot of talk. I appreciate you taking my call. I've heard a lot of comment one way or the other about A&M able to get the number one recruiting class in the country. And I've also heard some negative comment about it. But my real question to you is, about two or three weeks ago, you made a comment that said, I have finally realized what A&M stands for, and it didn't seem very flattering to me as an Aggie. What I would like to know is exactly what you meant by the comment.
John, I'm struggling here to remember having said that. Are you sure I said it or a caller said it?
No, sir, you said it.
Okay, and in what context did I say it, just so I can answer your question correctly?
Well, I really don't know. There was another person talking about he was kind of proud of the way that the Aggies got the recruiting class,
right.
And then there was some other comments about whether they paid to get it or not, and then your last comment was, well, now I understand what A&M stands for, and that's exactly what I heard.
Okay. Well, again, I'm clearly not recalling it, but that doesn't mean I didn't say it. I really don't know what I meant because I have tremendous respect for the university. Many friends there. I've been there many times. I've seen the inner workings of that school and what it's done not only in this country but globally. I know a lot of people there, and I'm struggling. Sometimes in the context of a back and forth, you say something that maybe didn't come out completely the way you wanted it, but I certainly didn't mean much by it. I mean, I know what A&M is all about.
Well, I understand that, and I have nothing but the highest respect for you and your show. I enjoyed watching it. So, that was something that I just needed to get cleared.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I'm an Aggie veteran and love the school, and I kind of take things like that to heart.
Well, John, I'm glad you called me because I certainly I think some other people may have misinterpreted it, too, and I don't want that. I mean, what Texas A&M did in recruiting was the same thing that everyone else is doing now. They just happened to do it better and more effectively and first, and good for them. At this point in time, I don't really know how they got their class, but I know everyone else has followed their lead. I've known Jimbo Fisher a long time. There are a lot of people at Texas A&M I respect greatly, and Jimbo is one of them.
Well, I'll tell you what, sir, I really appreciate your comments. I'm glad we got the air cleared. And once again, I enjoy your show and all the people that you put it on. So
thank you very
much. Continue the good work.
You continue to call, and thanks for listen. I don't deny that in a back and forth, what I said may have sounded incorrect, but that's okay. I'm glad we cleared the air. And anyone who's still upset about what A&M did in recruiting isn't looking around the rest of the country right now, because if you haven't heard it by now, being out in Vegas with all those coaches and hearing all the things they said publicly and most important privately, A&M just was, they just did it first. They figured out a way. No one has yet to make a specific allegation against Jimbo Fisher and his program that they did something that was against the rules. Thank you for the call. There are no rules. Dan is up next. Hello, Dan. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paul. I hope I don't disappoint. I'm not going to be like some of them Alabama boys. This NIL stuff is getting out of hand. You probably need to capitalize on it yourself, because surely you use a therapist, and
yes,
he or she would be willing to pay you good money, for you mentioning them or whatever, because I don't know how you put up with some of these people. But
Dan, I will tell you the truth. I do have, as a female therapist, a trained medical profession that I visit with every single night.
Is it your wife?
Yes, it is. And
okay.
I don't know if Blue Cross covers spousal interaction, but it's a big bill. Let me assure you, it is a very big bill.
Yeah, well, listen, the way that this money they're talking about with this NIL, you don't need no insurance. But reality here, and a while ago you had somebody that it's filtered down to the high schools blatantly. Are there any academic standards for these athletes? Listen, I'm about 6'4", about 280. No, I'm not a tight end. I was a skinny boy in high school. I played basketball and baseball and enjoyed it. And you always felt like the coaches would help you along a little bit if you couldn't quite make those C pluses maybe you needed. But you ended up a pretty decent person. I hadn't been in jail yet. I ain't even got no outstanding tickets. And I went and voted today in Georgia, so I'm legal.
Is today the election? Yeah. Today election? Oh, you voted early, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, I shouldn't say this. It's a joke. I'm going to vote three or four more times before it's over. But
hey, by the way, Dan, from what I heard 2 years ago, that's really no issue in Georgia.
I tell you one thing. Don't believe what you hear.
Okay.
I still don't believe it was legitimate. But anyhow, we are what we are. Ain't we happy? Realistically, if a kid is in college, used to have to go to classes, and you're a college professor and you've earned your way there and stuff, and you teach, there's not many athletes in your class, there might be just a few, and the rest of the people are in there, but the athlete don't show up, he don't turn his papers in or whatever like the rest of the people do, and he's driving one of them Kirby Smart F-150s out there. If I'm the professor and Kirby comes in there and say, can you help me out a little bit here with this kid? We really need him Saturday. And I'll say, you bring me two sets of keys for them F-150s, one for me and one for my wife, and I believe Mr. Running Back will be ready to suit up for you. I mean, it's corruption.
Dan, you've just given me a great career idea to become a college professor. I could make it big. Get a car. What kind of car you want? 150. I'll get it. You got it. We'll get two. Red,
sure.
Black. Rick is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this evening? Thanks
well,
for taking
thank
my
you.
Call. I just have one question. Why do you dislike Mike Griffith so much? I don't agree with everything he says, but I wish you'd let him finish his sentences and stop interrupting him and being rude to him. I don't agree with everything he says either. What he said about Georgia, I don't agree with. But you don't do that with any of the other media people you have on. So I'm just curious as to what's going on.
You know, Rick, I think that's a good question. I'm going to ask for an independent counsel to investigate me. Do we have independent counsel here? Randy, I'm asking you to investigate my interview recently today with Mike Griffith, and I want you to conclude whether you thought it was fair or unfair, and I'm waiting for the answer.
Fair.
It was fair, according to Randy, so that case is being thrown out of court. I have been cleared of my interview with Mike Griffith. T-Bob, coming up next.
T-Bob.
I promise you, I won't interrupt this guy.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And you might have heard this all the way down in Plaquemine Parish with Garth Brooks singing his iconic song, Calling Baton Rouge, in Tiger Stadium. Can you imagine? It registered. I do vaguely remember, because I was at the game, and I think it was 1988, Auburn and LSU. LSU scored a touchdown late in the game, and I thought that registered, too. Our next guest, T1 Haber, does not remember that. He probably wasn't born yet, but we're talking to, obviously, his back. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing fantastic. I'm here in a day in which Tyrann Mathieu just rejoined the New Orleans Saints. The conquering hero coming back to take back the land that once cheered him to these incredible heights and kind of pushed him away in a lot of ways. And now in his physical prime, he's coming back to lead the hometown favorites. So I'm in a great mood today, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great and glad to hear. He was once at the epicenter of college football, got into trouble, still at the epicenter of sports. Well, great to have you on. I wanted to get your thoughts just on, first of all the players that were taken in the draft from LSU. And I know that we all know that Ogeron recruited very well, didn't always work out on the field, but there has always been talent down there.
Yeah, and I think that if anything, it's really a commentary on why change needed to take place. I mean, Paul, what's kind of the one metric that we use to judge coaches? Are you elevating your talent or are you underachieving with it? And when you look at that record that they had of going 6-7 compared to 10 draft picks, the second most picks in the league, it's a pretty objective argument. But it lets people think that I'm just being kind of, you know, using this latest data to fit some narrative. You actually saw this very clearly during the season, and the draft really reinforced it. You had three offensive linemen drafted. You had a running back taken in the third round, and yet that's an O-line and a running back that got pushed around and shut down by UCLA. But if you watch that game, it was all zone scheme runs. They didn't run a single counter, single power, nothing like that. A few weeks later, they set the single game rushing record against Florida, running almost exclusively counter. So, like, right there, you have the perfect example of a coaching staff that did not understand its team at the beginning. I'll credit Brad Davis, who actually remained on staff, for figuring out along the way. But, yes, it is obvious that LSU and Coach O was underachieving relative to their talent level.
Well, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the arrival of Kelly. How do you think he's doing?
I think he's doing fantastic. I mean, you heard Scott Ravelle on the way in here kind of touching on a lot of that. He definitely has been more personable. Maybe it's the comfort of, you know, a 10-year deal and the full-throated support of Scott Woodward. I mean, you heard the word alignment probably 13 to 15 times in his opening press conference. Maybe it's the comfortability that comes with age, that comes with knowing that you are very good at a job, and he's been doing it for a very long time. I think the biggest difference about Kelly is he has a very Fortune 500 CEO sort of aura about him. Like, the word that always comes to my mind is meticulous. He's thinking about every single detail. And while that's not the only way to have success, you could argue in college football, it's proven to be a great pathway to consistency, something that LSU has lacked under Les Miles and under Ed Ogeron, who had different styles that have their own strengths and weaknesses, but they do struggle to maintain that bar, which is so easy to lose. It's so hard to get there. Some of those earlier styles may be struggling to stay there.
T-Bob, LSU fans are used to winning. They don't like dips like last year. And it's always a tough question to ask a coach, but you're not a coach. You're a commentator these days. How long is it going to take him, and what is the best path other than really good recruiting?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, and I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Paul. I mean, 9-3 is still the bar in year one. Now, maybe because it's year one and you know you have a long-term future together and you're married for 10 years, something like 8-4 would be deemed more acceptable. But no, as the LSU football coach, you're expected to go at least 5-3 in the SEC, right? And that's going to set you up for that 9-3 year, get to 10 wins with a bowl game. Now, ideally under Brian Kelly, you may even see that expectation rise. I mean, why did Brian Kelly do this? A man who had everything. And if you want any greater commentary on the perceived, you know, inherent advantages of LSU, look at him leaving that Notre Dame team, which was so successful on the cusp of a playoff, and leaving to join an LSU team that finished 6-7 and had 39 scholarship players at the Texas Bowl. This is a man who is missing one feather in his cap, and it's a national championship. And that's what he came here to do. It's what the last three coaches at LSU have done. So absolutely, the expectation is to win, win a lot, win early, and then get at least one national championship in this contract.
We know it's possible. We know it's not only possible, but likely. And you know that better than anyone with what has already happened at LSU. But how long do you think it will be before this program under Kelly is at that doorstep, is in a position to knock it down and win?
I mean, it's so tough, right? You know, it's like everybody wants to be Alabama, right? But Alabama's basically established life on Mars. They're growing crops. They're doing all sorts of things. You're trying to just get, like, easy transit to the moon at this point. So you're way behind. Now, Joe Burrow kind of changed all this, right? Because he came in and he just like he hyper accelerated the process. But then that team was gone and, well, you fell off. And it's been something that Brian Kelly's been really hammering on since he's been here, with just this idea of you need to create sustainable winning habits, right? And that is how you are going to build out, you know, and eventually get to Mars yourself. And that's why he's doing things like daily wellness checks, where he said himself he doesn't even care about the answer as much as he's done that the players are doing the daily wellness checks. Are you doing what you were supposed to do? And he believes that consistency is a predecessor to success. So, I mean, with the talent level, you had 10 players. I would say 3 to 4 years, 3 years, really. I think LSU fans, year number three, they're going to be expecting him to vie for championships.
Yeah, I mean, I think nowadays you have to in this league. You know that. You just can't, you know, you can't be on the 8-year plan. Who will be quarterback when we see the Tigers in a couple of months?
So, okay, I think there's like an easy just kind of odds-on favorite here, and that's either going to be Miles Brennan or Jaden Daniels, right? And I would give Brennan the slight edge in that regard. I think Daniels looks like he was struggling a bit from the pocket. At least if it is Daniels, two completely different offices. One guy to look out for is the young gun, Garrett Nussmeier. And I'm not saying that he's the favorite, but I didn't think he had a real chance coming into spring. And leaving spring, I think he does. And it's not just because that's kind of the hot storyline, but if you watch that spring game, and he comes from a great football pedigree when you think about his father and the Nussmeier family. I mean, when you watch that game, he has a great rhythm to him. He's hitting his back foot. He's decisive. He's taking deep throws, intermediate throws, and he's hitting his spot. So if I was a betting man, I would still say Brennan or Daniels. But the biggest quarterback storyline to me is that I don't think this is just them. You know, this isn't made up. I think there is a legitimately a three-quarterback competition.
Great stuff. T-Bob, thank you very, very much for being with us to report on how LSU is doing. We are heading to the break right now. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here on a Monday. Steve is up next. Hey, Steve. Steve, you there?
Steve.
Steve, one.
Steve.
Two.
Two.
Three times a Steve. You're out. Thomas in Destin. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, Paul, longtime listener. I just wanted to ask, is Phyllis from Mulga doing all right? And whatever happened to Jim from Crestwood?
Jim from Crestwood unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. I remember hearing from somebody that was related to him. And there is a debate. He's not very well known to the current audience because he didn't call for a long time. But when he did call, he was arguably the best caller in the history of the show.
The phrase "carpet bagger"
right.
was very common with him.
Yeah, he accused me of being a West Georgia water boy. That was a shot at me. Being a sycophant for Auburn, he described Auburn being in West Georgia, not in East Alabama.
Alabama.
He used stronger language, but you know, we are a family show. But I saw him about 8 or 9 years ago. I did a book signing in Birmingham, and he came up, and we had a really great conversation. But he's gone now.
Hey, one other question, real quick. In the playoff era, was Bobby Bowden before his time? Or do you think he would have done much better in the playoff era?
I'm trying to think. You know, Bobby Bowden, you know, he was in the first BCS game and lost. I mean, Bobby Bowden would have done well in any era because he was such a good coach and such a great recruiter. But I'm not sure. I mean, he would have had the players. And really what separates people in the playoffs has been the players. That's why Notre Dame has been unable to win. That's why Oklahoma has failed most of the time, because they just simply could not match up to the SEC. Bobby Bowden could match up with the SEC. He had great success against the SEC. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Doug is up next in Florida. Hello, Doug. I feel like I'm talking to a wall here sometimes, Randy. Let's try John, who is up next. Hey, John, you are on the air.
Thank you, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to make a statement, Paul, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Thank you, NCAA. Thank you, SEC, and all the other collective conferences. Thank you, moms and dads, and of all, thank you, all you great athletes, because one thing is for sure, you can screw up a one-car funeral. Thank you.
Thank you. That's an old joke, but it's still funny. Have you ever used, I used that joke a couple of months ago on a show.
How'd it go?
Well, good. Yeah. It's an old joke, so younger people have not heard it. But, sure. Hey, it's, Mike Griffith could screw up a one-car funeral. Brum-pum-pum. He could screw up a no-car funeral. How about Lynn in Louisiana? Hello, Lynn.
Hi, how are you doing? Great to talk to you. And
thank
I
you.
Enjoyed that interview with T-Bob.
You
listen,
got it.
I want to talk to you about the, if you're familiar with the 24/7 sports new recruiting rankings, including the transfer portal guys.
I haven't seen it, but how's it doing?
Well, it's doing great for LSU.
Okay.
I mean, LSU only signed 15 guys out of high school, and they weren't even ranked, but they signed 15 guys in the transfer portal. And what I understand is what they've done is assign the stars that the kids had coming out of high school, and LSU jumped up to number 6 right behind Texas. And
oh, wow.
It's a fascinating thing. I mean, I wonder if this is going to become the norm. Is it going to replace the regular recruiting right out of high school? Because, you know, there are advantages both ways. I mean, transfer portal, you get a guy who's somewhat proven, but you only got him for a few years. And out of high school, you know, you've got him for 3 years, but you don't know he's going to actually produce. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think your point is good, because you get a ranking on the day of National Signing Day. It stays with you. Commentators will say, well, LSU had the number 3 ranking in the country 2 years ago. What's not real is where that ranking is today, because so many players come and go that there
right.
ought to be a way to update that, as well as players coming in. So it's a fair – it really – the only fair analysis of a program is the players that they currently have on roster, how were they ranked, like you alluded, when they were coming out of high school. Because where and sometimes, you have to factor in a 5-star coming out of high school in February of 2019 – may not be any good today. I mean, how many times have we seen that story with especially a 5-star quarterback? Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let me try Doug again. I think he's back. Doug, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Look, the reason I'm calling is because we have these football coaches that are suing the NFL.
Right.
Because they say there's not enough African-American head football coaches. I want to always be fair, but 13% of the population is African-American. Do you think there will be a time where the Caucasians and Hispanic football players will sue the college ranks because there's not an adequate percentage of them?
You know, Doug, I've never thought about that.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mike is calling next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
I'm calling from Jacksonville, Alabama, and I was wondering how the NIL and the transfer portal will affect the smaller schools, such as here at Jacksonville State.
Well, first of all, Mike, you have a fantastic football program at Jacksonville, fantastic athletic department at Jacksonville State. I'm very familiar with it. And
yes,
I know you have Rich Rodriguez there now. I think it could benefit a smaller school because you'll have a lot more disgruntled players who may be looking for someplace to go. And Jack State has had I can't remember the quarterback a couple of years ago that went off, maybe more than a couple of years ago, but he ended up playing Power 5 football and very well. And I don't think it's going to affect a school like – I think it's more likely to affect a Power 5 school who's in the middle to the bottom of a respective league.
Oh, okay.
But I think the door is open. And I tell you, having a coach like Rodriguez benefits for this reason. He's been so many places. He has so many friends. So let's just use Auburn as an example. Let's say Auburn has a quarterback that gets pushed down the depth chart, like Malik Willis a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes.
I mean, what you have now is because Rich Rod knows everyone. You know, somebody calls Rich Rod and goes, hey, I got a great quarterback here. He's number three in the depth chart. Would you consider him? And you know, so you have a back door, and I think Jack State has used that to its advantage over the years. Anyway, I know Troy has in Alabama, but we've
gotten some great players right. over the years.
And I think that's how
we've had a few duds. Like
well, that's always everyone does, but I think ultimately, though, Mike, that's how a program like Jacksonville State can go down and beat Florida State. By having a couple of those difference makers.
That's true. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. But I don't want to go on a rant here, but it's going to happen in big-time college football that and I'm not going to name names because you can figure out, but because of the money with NIL, there is really going to be two classifications within the Power Five or maybe three. And if you're on the bottom – I talked to a coach the other day, the Boston College coach, and I'll try not to confuse what he told me off the air and on the air, but guys like that are worried because schools that have significantly high academic requirements that take it seriously, and, you know, they can't go out there and you know, go into the portal and throw NIL deals around. They need people that want to play there, and I'm concerned about those schools. And even within the ACC, the SEC, a lot of major leagues are going to see this. You're seeing it already, but I think it's going to be more pronounced in the future. We're heading to a break. We still have a lot of guests that are on deck. We've already had Griffith and Pete Thamel, T-Bob, T-Boone next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and Ryan is up next in Cincinnati. Hello, Ryan.
How's it going, Grim Reaper?
It's rather grim. I'm sorry you asked.
Well, Paul, I hope your day gets really good, and hope you have a good one. First, there's a couple things I want to talk about. First thing first, to keep up my end of the bargain with you. Next time Sheridan comes in, I think you should play his theme song. The song should be that goofy song that Chris Vernon made about him.
Danny Sheridan.
Yeah. Good old Sheridan. I think that would be an interesting theme song for him.
That's a great song.
You'd be sitting there shaking your head. But, Paul, the NFL draft this weekend, one thing I got to say was I was surprised that Cincinnati had the third most players drafted.
I thought that was pretty amazing, too. We had a really good conversation with Luke Fickell right before the draft started, and it just goes to show you the development that he has done. A lot of that, I mean, he's recruited extremely well, but for Cincinnati, I think it's more development.
Yeah, I mean, I think of all the people who gave praise to Fickell in Cincinnati, I mean, granted, I live here, was you and Brando. I mean, you and Brando really were impressed with that accomplishment. And I told people here in town, I was like, Feinbaum's giving this team a lot of credit.
Well, it's easy to be dismissive, but when you consider he had more players than many of the major leagues, Power Five leagues, it's pretty significant.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I just thought it was pretty impressive, and I about fell over, Paul. I was like, seriously? They're third? Only behind Georgia and Alabama, and, you know, Fick's just done a heck of a job, and you've met him, and everybody in this town seems to love him, just thinks he's a great guy.
Yeah, I mean, we have now interviewed him twice, and he is just the single thing that he does that impresses me more than his coaching and recruiting is the fact that he can wear tight dress shoes without socks.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, jeez. Well, one thing, Paul, I mean, I take it the time at ESPN's been easier now that you don't got to take on the West Georgia water boy, old Joe from Trussville.
Boy, you know, I miss him too. Yeah, we had, you know, Jim was one thing, but then there was Joe who, he's the only person on the air that I've ever used a particular curse word to describe him. I called him.
Oh, I remember that.
I called him a sniveling, you know what?
Whining. Yeah.
Sniveling. That was funny. It begins with a B.
Yeah, the word
I've never used that word since, although I might start.
I know you're tempted, bud. So take care, bud. I
Thank
hope you have
you
a better
much.
Day.
Really great to hear from All you. Right. You take care of yourself. Marty is up next. Hello, Marty.
Hey, Paul. Do you know when Clemson's contract with the ACC expires?
I think Clemson has a, what do they call it, a grant of rights agreement, which means they can't get it. They are locked into the ACC forever.
Really?
Well, not forever, but I think at least until the terms of this contract. I would say it's easily until 2033 or something.
Is there any way you think they're going to try to – because what I've been thinking as far as with Texas and Oklahoma – trying to join the SEC, it's kind of almost that first step of schools showing that it's time to realign yourselves, whether it's NIL, recruiting, or what have you. It's time to align yourselves with the best. And if you want to be a part of the best, well, you better move now. And so to see Oklahoma and Texas take that step, I figured with Clemson, even though they're at the top of their conference, I figured that would kind of be a signal to them to do the same. And I mean, I guess with these kind of conditions, maybe they can't, but do you see other schools in the ACC?
I tell you what, I think some of this will take care of itself. Not to go back in history with a Big Bang theory here, but I think college football ultimately is going to have a Big Bang theory where it's going to blow up to smithereens and leagues that are no longer going to be competitive. And I think at some point you are going to see the power schools in every league look for platforms that they can land on, and Clemson certainly would be one of them. I think Clemson, they certainly enjoyed dominating the ACC all those years, but I'm not sure what their future. I'm not sure their future is particularly bright right now, because I think the ACC has a couple of power schools. And a lot of schools that are not going to be able to hang with where college football is going.
Yeah. Do you see?
And by the way, the ACC is not the only one. I think that goes for every league right now.
Yeah. Well, what about like schools in the big conferences, like the Big Ten or the SEC, like Vanderbilt? In Missouri.
Well,
do you think
we interviewed Candace Lee the other day, the athletic director at Vanderbilt, and I asked her what the expectations are for Vanderbilt. They haven't won a conference game in 2 years, and I think there's enormous pressure for them to win a couple of conference games this year and at least give the appearance of being competitive. You can sugarcoat it any way you want and talk about how great their baseball program is and they have all the things that you should be proud of. But at some point, Vanderbilt has to make a showing in college football.
I'd say the same for Missouri. I've never liked Missouri ever since they joined. I think they're a poor fit. But like both Vanderbilt and Missouri, I've been wishing for so many years that we'd just trade them out for like Clemson and Florida State or something.
Let me say this about Florida State. I'm glad you brought them up. We had Norvell on the other day out in Vegas. Anytime a Florida State fan wants to complain about his or her league, just let me direct you back to our final interview here with Bobby Bowden a couple of years ago before he passed away. And I asked him about why he turned down the SEC. And he said, well, why did I want to be in the SEC when all I had to do was win one or two? I only had one or two games a year. In the ACC, it was the ticket to success, but I'm afraid today, in a different world, it's going to take more than that. Now, if the college football playoff expands, it will help the ACC immensely. But right now they're at a disadvantage because you saw last year Clemson lost early to NC State. They lost another game, and they were done. The season literally was over for them, and it wasn't all that bad of a season. They won 10 games, but you know, if you're not playing for championships right now nationally, you really don't matter when you are a Clemson type of school. Up against a break, we still have 2 hours to go.